This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The early days of the UFO field, explored by Charles Lear in his book Flying Saucer Investigators, a lot more to cover, and I wanted to kind of dovetail back to Ray Palmer, which we barely mentioned, Palmer and Shaver, one of which is because Palmer had this section in Flying Saucer magazine called Saucer Club News. And it was so fascinating because this is where you'd advertise your saucer club and you meet other people around the country. They'd write you. Most of my friends to this very day I got from that magazine and that section.
Oh, that is so cool. That's where Barker and isn't that where how Barker and Gray Barker and Albert K. Bender hooked up?
Well, I know that Barker had a column there called Chasing the Flying Saucers.
Okay.
So, yes, I think that's the case. We'd have to go grab a copy if they knew too much about flying saucers from Barker. Barker was kind of an interesting case because he'd play these hoaxes. He and Jim would get together, have a few drinks, and pull stunts. But, and you talk about the strafe letter. I want to ask you to amplify that in a moment. But before Barker became disenchanted with flying saucers, he wrote some very serious stuff.
Yeah, they knew too much about flying saucers. His investigation of the Flatwoods Monster is all in there, and it's a good investigation. He started off a very serious investigator. He actually kind of recaptured some of that when he looked into the Mothman case in 1967, down in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And there was a lot of tomfoolery in between. So, Straight Letter being one example.
He's been called a mythologist. Jim Moseley said he viewed UFOs as a branch of entertainment. So I think that has something to do with it. And so maybe he was a part-time serious researcher.
Yeah, I like the term folklorist. I think that's an absolutely valid way to view all this. And Barker was quoted by Alan Greenfield as when asked, what his beliefs were. And he said, "I believe in everything and nothing." And I think he was earnest in that.
Alan Greenfield, by the way, is another person who announced the Flying Saucer Club in Saucer Club News. That's how I got to know him, by the way.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, you also knew Timothy Green Beckley, too, didn't you?
Oh, for so many years. Or as Jim Moseley called him, Timothy Greed Beckley. But Tim was really an interesting character. And if you looked at all the commercialism, you'd figure this guy's just in it for the money, which he was. But he also had a serious interest. If you listen to the times Tim appeared in the Paracast, and he's no longer with us, but when he appeared on the Paracast, he was always very serious. In fact, one of our guest co-hosts, Tim Swartz, used to work with Beckley and used to do a lot of writing with him. But yes, Beckley himself was an interesting character. And when I left Saucer News, Beckley took my position.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Exploring the Bizarre, which is you can find it on YouTube. He did that with Tim Swartz. And yeah, they have some really good, serious interviews. They do a great one on Gray Barker along with John Houchin, I think his name's John, who maintains the Barker, the Gray Barker archives down at the Clarksville Harrison Public Library. I actually got a chance to visit him too. He's an amazing guy, David Houchin, that's his name. And yeah, he was very, very gracious. So, it was a really good show, very serious, and great information. So yeah, what I like about Beckley is, he didn't have any pretense about who he was or how he approached the subject. He could be serious, when it was time to be serious.
By the way, I was just looking this up when you talk about Mosley and Barker. Our friend Bob Zanotti, he's staff announcer here, he did a radio show at a college radio station back in the early to mid-60s called Coffee Clutch. And we have this interview in the Paracast Plus area for the premium subscribers featuring Gray Barker, Jim Mosley, Jack Robinson, August Roberts, and Dominic Lucchesi.
Oh, wow. And has that been uploaded anywhere, or you just have
it? It's available if you're a subscriber to the Paracast Plus at the Paracast.plus.
Well,
it's an hour and 18 minutes long. We also have a vintage show, which appears to be out of copyright, from Long John Neville, that we're going to post in a real short period of time. It's like over 3 hours worth, and the sound has been enhanced. It sounds really good. And Jim Mosley and Gray Barker and Stuart Robb, who was a psychic investigator, are on that show, and that's also from, I think, the 60s. So that's going to be up in a little while. But it's really fun to hear these people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd love to hear that.
Now, you talk about the straight letter here. And I think you should tell the story here, because Gray Barker nearly got himself in some real difficulty there.
Yeah. Before we start, I wanted to say one thing about this now, just for the listeners, especially people new to ufology. In the early days, there were no UFO documents. They weren't, all you had was testimony and newspaper stories. There weren't Blue Book case files or things like the MJ-12 supposedly leaked documents. There was, we didn't have anything like that. So this possibly is the first phony UFO document.
Okay, yeah, I never thought of it that way, but yeah, I think you're right. So what happened is a young friend of Gray Barker's, I believe his father worked for the State Department, and he got a bunch of State Department stationery. And Gray Barker and Jim Mosley, probably drunk, wrote a bunch of letters on this stationery. They wrote a letter to APRO, telling them they should cease operations because of a coming postal crackdown, I believe. They told CSI that they had been infiltrated. But the most famous is a letter that was signed R.E. Straith from the State Department saying to George Adamski, saying... So for those listeners who don't know, George Adamski claimed to meet a Venusian named Orthon and to have been taken aboard his scout craft, and he was the first really big contactee. In any case, the letter to George Adamski praised him for his work. Said, "We support you, but we can't do publicly," essentially. And Adamski and his followers immediately held this up as a validation of his experiences and his work. And that caused a bit of a furor in saucerdom, and everybody was trying to figure out who wrote it. And what's really funny is the back and forth in all the publications, the APRO Bulletin. I don't recall the UFO investigator getting involved in this, but mainly the APRO Bulletin, the Gray Barker and Saucerian, and of course Jim Mosley, all started, pondering this letter in their publications, particularly the Lorenzans and APRO in the APRO Bulletin.
Let's do our break here as we explore the implications of this very strange hoax from years ago by Barker and Mosley called the Straith Letter. With Charles, And Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
The strength letter being talked about in the UFO magazines, APRO, Jim Moseley, Gray Barker, of course, they were the ones who perpetrated it. Now, I would mention one thing in passing, where they found out who did it. Gray Barker had a very distinctive writing style that he could not mask even while drunk. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this actually I think this led to the is rumored to have been part of the reason Bender shut down the International Flying Saucer Bureau. And I heard this a good speculation from David Halchin on this. Anyway, what happened was since it was written on State Department stationery, it was a federal offense. And a man had an epileptic seizure in Clarksburg. He had no identification. Somebody lifted his wallet, but he did have one of Gray Barker's business cards, International Flying Saucer Bureau business cards. So, according to Barker, an FBI agent visited him. According to David Halchin, who keeps the archives, it was more likely a local cop or a local detective. In any case, Barker just said, you know, this guy got my card somehow, but he was spooked. Barker's immediate reaction was to smash up the typewriter. Jim Moseley writes about this book in Confessions of a Grave Robbing Ufologist. And he smashed up his typewriter, took it, and stuck it into wet cement on a construction site. So the story, according to David Halchin, is Barker wrote a letter to Bender and also another investigator in Washington, Reverend, name escapes me, you know, saying, look out, I've been investigated by the FBI. And I had a visit from the FBI. Well, the Reverend in Washington was taking pictures all over town, some of which were at classified installations. So he was visited by three men who actually were FBI. He wrote a letter to Bender as well. According to Halchin, Bender was on vacation. When he came back, he found these two letters, and from that, he put together the Three Men in Black story. I think this spooked him enough that, and so David Halchin believes this, that this spooked him enough to shut down the Bureau. But when you read the APRO bullet, you get a sense that they pretty much know who did this. Who else but Jim Moseley and Gray Barker? Gray Barker and Jim Moseley had a pact that neither of them would reveal this hoax until one of them died. Gray Barker died 1988, I believe, and Jim Moseley published the confession in Saucer Smear at the time, with a copy of the letter, and he wrote Exhibit 1 on it. So, yeah, that one letter really played a big part in UFO history, especially for shutting down the International Flying Saucer Bureau, if that story's true.
Well, you know, also Bender came out with a book called Flying Saucers and the Three Men, where he claimed the three men in black were ETs.
Yes, yeah, or real ethereal beings with glowing eyes. And, yeah, and also having erotic massage by space maidens.
They came from the planet Kayak, I think.
Yeah, I actually speculate in the book that, because I couldn't find Bender's middle name anywhere. You can usually find it on a gravestone, like Coral Lorenzen's, Coral E. Lorenzen. I went to her, found her gravestone and online, and it's Coral L.C. Lorenzen. Albert K. Bender's still got the K on his gravestone. So I speculated in the book that maybe his middle name was Kayak. If anybody has information on that, I would love to hear it.
You know, Bender lived a really ripe old age. He died in 2016 at the age of 94. But after the 60s, when this book came out, he pretty much gave up anything related to flying saucers. Also, we should mention the book was very heavily edited by Gray Barker. So I just wonder how much Barker contributed to this strange tale.
Yeah, maybe the erotic massage.
Well, so Gray Barker, his book, we mentioned it briefly earlier, They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. There's a lot of men in black in that, and I think that helped popularize it. And I think it also introduced, I don't know if it introduced or maybe it just kind of spread some kind of UFO paranoia. And some of the things we think now about government secrecy and covering up kind of stem from that. But at the same time, the FBI was investigating some saucer people because they thought maybe they were involved in communism, fighting the bomb and promoting peace when that wasn't considered very American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cole Lorenzen was a staunch anti-communist. The members had to sign a statement saying they weren't affiliated with communists at all from the very get-go, the early days of APRA. And she actually accuses Bender of shutting down the bureau because the government had accused him of being a communist. So that was a big deal. But it's also, there's some validity to that. And I think throughout the history of ufology, UFO groups have probably been infiltrated by communists looking for leaked information. A UFO report is a UFO report. So if it's describing, advanced weapons technology, then these are the guys who are getting it and who are getting leaked information, that'd be the place to be. So there's a very good argument for that.
I'm going to tell a quick story here, which has nothing to do with flying saucers, except peripherally, because the person I'm mentioning is someone who would follow me in my UFO travels, a guy named Marty. So Marty and I, on a few occasions, visited the Russian mission to the United Nations in New York City. And it was fascinating there because you get information about the country. This was during the heyday of communism. And as a point of fact, my mother's family and my wife's family, our grandparents, all came from Russia and migrated to the U.S. in the early 20th century. So one day, my friend Marty and I visit the Soviet mission. We're maybe 18, 19 years old. And then he announces his intention. He said this seriously, and I would really look for a table to climb under. He said he wanted to defect.
Ooh.
And advance the communist mission in the U.S. And they looked at him and thought, you know what, this kid is crazy. And they basically ignored it. They wanted to change the subject and were only too happy for him to leave. But that was weird.
Well, yeah. Seriously.
Very serious. In fact, it's so serious we have to break now for a serious break. With Charles and Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Ukrainian and British officials are warning that Russian forces are relying on weapons able to cause mass casualties. The UK's defense ministry says Russian bombers have likely been launching heavy 1960s-era anti-ship missiles in Ukraine. These missiles were primarily designed to destroy aircraft carriers using a nuclear warhead. Justin Crump, a British military expert and veteran British Army tank commander, tells Sky News that Russia is using whatever they can get their hands on.
I guess Russia is figuring there aren't that many enemy ships to deal with. So they are using these missiles in their secondary role of land attack, but they're not brilliant at that. It's a further indication of how Russia is having to use everything at its disposal to keep achieving its ends.
Meanwhile, the governor of Luhansk is accusing Russia of using flamethrowers on civilians in a village in his eastern Ukrainian province. This is USA Radio News. Pete Arredondo, the Uvalde School District Police Chief, who has been under fire since the mass shooting at an elementary school in Texas, broke his silence to the Texas Tribune. The interview was done over the phone with his attorney on the line. Arredondo told the outlet that he never considered himself the incident commander. James Barragan is one of the reporters who interviewed Arredondo. He spoke to CNN.
He is telling, or at least he told us in our interview, definitively that he went in there. He never thought he was the incident commander, never identified himself as the incident commander, and really never gave an order for any officers to stand down for breaching the room.
Officials with the Texas Department of Public Safety described Arredondo as the incident commander who made the call to stand down and treat the incident as a barricaded suspect. Arredondo told the Texas Tribune that he called for assistance and asked for an extraction tool to open the door. The chief's interview comes as thousands marched in Washington demanding Congress enact more gun control. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now you know about my crazy teenage years. Charles Lears has flying saucer investigators with lots of interesting people. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. Heavy focus here on Jim Moseley and, of course, Gray Barker. Gray Barker being a pioneer where basically we learned about the men in black in Venus knew too much about flying saucers. John Keel later picked up on it. But then they came out in the 90s. Someone came out with a graphic comic book about the men in black, which was sold to a motion picture company and became a multi-billion-dollar film franchise. Neither Keel nor Barker benefited in any way. That's kind of sad.
Yeah. But, yeah, they didn't invent it. They just reported on it. So.
Or so the story goes.
Yes, yes.
So we talked a lot about the things in the 50s, and, of course, there's a lot more in your book. But, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you about, in your chapter, All Eyes on Socorro, which is about the famous 1964 sighting in New Mexico, the response by the Air Force was probably one of its most intense investigations. Now, what do you think about it made that case such a hot property to them?
Well, I think Quintanilla, Hector Quintanilla was the head of Blue Book at the time. Quintanilla was a staunch skeptic. Anything he could do to put his story down, he did it. So what's really interesting to me, by the way, this book was written in Magdalena, New Mexico, mostly, which is where Lonnie Zamora, the key witness, was a police officer. He was born and raised there. So I actually got to speak with people who knew Lonnie Zamora, which was awesome. But anyway, yeah, for those who don't know, I'm sure your listeners know about Socorro. I don't have to go into that, do I?
Well, just some of the, you know, the highlight that, you know, there was this craft and there was a couple of occupants seen. And apparently there were physical landing physical traces in the sand or?
Basically, Lonnie Zamora was chasing a speeder on Highway 85. He hears a roar from the direction of a nearby arroyo, and because the mayor's dynamite shack was in that area, he broke off to go and investigate. He drove up a hill on the side of the arroyo. To his left, about 800 feet away, he saw what he thought was a white craft, oval shape. He saw what he thought was a white car standing on end, and he also saw two figures dressed in what he thought were white coveralls. He called in and went to help, and as he got closer, he pulled up, he dropped the mic, he goes to pick up the mic, and he hears another roar, and this craft rises up out of the arroyo until it's level with his car. There's flaming coming out the bottom. He turned to run behind the car, he banged his leg on the car, dropped his glasses, crouched behind the car, shielded his face. The roar stopped and he looked up, and then this thing moved off slowly towards the southwest. He called into headquarters. He talked to operator Nep Lopez, asked if he could see anything out his window. Nep didn't. And Sergeant Sam Chavez was listening in. He was with the state police. And Chavez got to the site within 3 minutes. They went down to investigate. Saw four charred bushes, and they saw four landing impressions, rectangular. You had two witnesses to the trace cases, but only one witness to the actual craft and creatures. The thing is Lonnie Zamora's reputation as an honest man was rock solid, and that's what this case really hinged on. But the trace evidence didn't hurt. But the thing is this was investigated by a local FBI agent in an unofficial capacity, state and local police, local military personnel, and then Jalen Hynek was sent in, the scientific consultant to the Air Force.
Yeah, we should mention here, because if people have seen the television show, they think he was out in the field all the time. But that was not the case. I mean, originally he was a consultant, and it was very unusual for him to go into the field.
That was mostly what the Project Blue Book personnel would do. But, in this case, Hynek went there. Kevin Randall tells the story that on the way to from Albuquerque Airport down from Albuquerque is probably the Air Force Base, Kirtland Air Force Base. On the way down to Socorro, the Air Force car got a flat and Hynek had to hitchhike the rest of the way. But in any case, Hynek was so intrigued by this case, he came back to Socorro twice on his own time. And a lot of people think that this is the one that really helped turn him into more of a believer, that there was something really strange going on. But Quintanilla was dead set on finding what this craft could have been. And he asked everybody, and, he had the clearance to know this sort of stuff, and came up empty. Lunar landing craft, experiment, just some sort of experimental craft, because there's so many facilities around the area. It's right around the corner from White Sands Missile Range, and there are testing facilities, military bases, nothing. They could find nothing. But just the sheer number of people that investigated this case is pretty staggering. One of the funniest quotes from Zamora, he got hounded by the press, and there are some recorded interviews with him, but I heard from somebody who knew him a really funny quote from him. He was asked, Mr. Zamora, were you in a state of confusion? He says, no, sir, I was in the state of New Mexico.
So one of the things that Dr. Hynek said about him was that he was a straightforward, serious, and fairly unsophisticated man and unlikely to be fabricating anything. And so one of the, and so often especially critics of Project Blue Book say they're so quick to say it's a mistake or a hallucination, but they obviously took this seriously, that it was something mechanical, and they accepted the witness as absolutely credible. So this was a pretty standout case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should also mention Ray Stanford was an investigator on this case as well and wrote a book about it, A Socorro Saucer in a Pentagon Pantry. And a funny story with Stanford is that Hynek wanted to take soil samples, and Stanford, who was actually allowed to come to the site and see for himself, the police didn't want to let him, but Hynek said no, let him come in. And it turns out Stanford actually had collection vials, so he loaned the scientific consultant for the Air Force the collection vials for them to get soil samples. Stanford was working on behalf of NICAP at the time.
Right? Stanford was an
He's a regular reader of my blog at Podcast UFO, and it occasionally chimes in when I make a mistake. So thank you, Ray.
Stanford's the kind of guy who doesn't suffer fools gladly. If you make a mistake, he'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
Fascinating episodes on the Paracast with Ray Stanford. But then he has supposedly all this solid evidence of UFO reality. But what's unfortunate about it is that he refuses to reveal more than a smidgen of it, except occasionally to carefully selected people. And that's sad. Hopefully he'll do it before he's no longer with us to do it. We've got Charles and Gene and Kurt in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, I know we covered this only briefly at the beginning in talking about the flying saucer investigators, Charles, and that's Palmer and Shaver. And because of Fate magazine and Palmer being one of the co-founders with Kurt Fuller and Mary Fuller, he was a pioneer in spreading the word on UFOs.
He had the Kenneth Arnold story written by Kenneth Arnold, edited by Palmer, and he also had that was a premier issue of Fate. He also had the Maury Island story as well, written by Kenneth Arnold, edited by Ray Palmer. I do that all the time. He had the first flying saucer story. It was quite a while after he there was paper rationing going on the time, so he was unable to immediately publish the story, but he got right on it. And he also tried to tie it to the Richard Shaver stories. As Richard Shaver mentions these craft down in the tunnels of the Darrow, Richard Shaver claimed to that there were detrimental robots, really devolved creatures living in the tunnels in the earth that controlled us up here on the planet, up on the surface with detrimental rays, mind control rays.
Kellogg rays.
Yes, and but they cruised around in these craft in the underground tunnels, and so Arnold tried to tie those, and Shaver as well, tried to tie those craft to flying saucers and use it as proof of the Taro and Darrow stories, the Shaver mystery, as it was known.
Well, Gene, so most people think that this was published, these stories were published in like 1947, maybe to 8 or 9, but they were pretty popular in flying saucer circles. Weren't they into the 60s still having Shaver fans?
Right. I met Shaver in 1975.
He was into his rock. Was he into his rock paintings at that point?
Yes. In fact, we got some of the rock paintings and some rocks and some equipment to view them. This is my first wife, Geneva, and I were putting out a magazine in the late 60s through the mid-70s. We interviewed Shaver, by the way. And he was an awfully nice guy, by the way, and a fairly decent writer. and he would just churn out the stuff, and it was fascinating, and we'd publish it. But maybe we were on the wrong kind of medication. But we could see, looking at the rock books, something there. Now, later on, you think crystalline pieces, objects used to store knowledge, and then you just have to watch Superman the movie, 1978, where he uses this crystalline object to build this fortress of solitude, and that's part of the legend of Superman from then on, the TV shows, the movies, always using that crystal, and then even some of it's used in Stargate SG-1, crystalline sources of storing information, of course, silicon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Palmer and Shaver were writing about this decades ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had, you had extraterrestrials with advanced technology and underneath the Earth, and you're kind of a divergent race. And, you know, a lot of these ideas were kind of fell out of favor, but have worked their way back into UFO lore. So, you know, it's a huge influence.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you know, on the human side, the relationship with Palmer and Shaver. Shaver, you know, Palmer said flat out that Shaver was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia at a, I believe it was a science fiction convention. And, you know, he was in two hospitals, at least two hospitals. So, you know, we can pretty much safely assume he was a paranoid schizophrenic. But Palmer gave him this outlet. He was able to write, and he got better and better and better as a writer, and he had this outlet, and he had, you know, support and, you know, fans. And Palmer basically gave him a life, which is just wonderful. And Palmer stuck by him. They remained friends all the way to the end of Palmer's days. And on Palmer backing him up on the Long John Neville show, you know, Palmer saying that he believed he was pushed down some stairs by some Darrows. So, you know, that's, you know, getting to the human side of this whole thing. That's really touching.
I interviewed Palmer at his home in 1965, and he brought up the mental institution thing. And there are other reports that the family may have railroaded Shaver into the mental institution. At least that was the theory of one book author who was on the PowerCast some years ago. The book was called War Over Lemuria. It was written by a guy named Richard Taranto, and this was featured on the July 7th, 2013 episode of the PowerCast, and my ex-wife Geneva was on there, as we all brought out memories of Shaver and Palmer and those strange, strange years. In any case, he reveals this but says, I still believe Shaver. But Shaver took umbrage to that. I think for a while they were on the outs over this.
Wow.
So this goes back to a lot of the contact cases, people have speculated, well, maybe this is not a physical contact. Is this something like, you know, a spiritual encounter or a vision? And, you know, Shaver, Shaver in so many ways was a pioneer, and we're still asking questions about that in today.
Yeah, well, the Borderline Sciences Research Association, arguably the first modern UFO report from 1946, they were totally esoteric. Or not totally, but their members were very much into theosophy and other esotericisms. Mark Probert, it was founded by Mead Lane and Mark Probert. They basically wanted to take a scientific look at paranormal phenomena and mysterious phenomena from, but also with a, you know, we'll look at it by any means possible, including what Probert called a clairaudience. So, you know, and, you know, the spiritual and the esoteric goes way back in ufology. The Swedish had a Klaus Svahn has written extensively. Klaus Svahn is one of the members of UFO Sweden, and he's also helps run the Archives for the Unexplained, which is an unbelievable archive in Sweden. David Marlowe likes to call them the Vikings because they come to America and raid and pillage and take all our archives away from us over to Sweden. But Klaus Spahn writes extensively about esotericism and ufology. So, you know, the esoteric and the spiritual, you know, and ufology just, that's is definitely an approach, and an approach people still use today.
Klaus Spahn, by the way, was on the Paracast, our November 1st, 2015 episode.
So Donald Kehoe had none of that. However, some others do, and you could say that in a way, if you want to know the modern person carrying the legacy of this was Robert Bigelow. He embraces a lot of the same kind of stuff, and maybe in different ways. You know, the paranormal is and supernatural are part of what he thinks UFOs are, and this greater whatever presence that is we're encountering.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Alan Stevelman's Witness of Another World?
No, what's that?
Oh, it's a case about this kid. He's the son of a gaucho and became a gaucho himself in Argentina. He had an encounter, I think it was 1972, maybe a little later. But he had an encounter with a UFO and an occupant, taken on board, and then left. And he went to tell about it, and he was ridiculed. To the point by his family and friends and the community, and to the point where he ended up living alone on a farm.
We're going to have more of this in our next segment with Charles and Jean and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.